I know some people don't believe that they already learned it. Maybe we'll try to be machadish some things in it also. I want to start with the following idea. Let's do it like this. The way the world was originally supposed to be was that Adam Rishon was supposed to be created. We're supposed to be told that you're not supposed to eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. Adam Rishon was meant to not eat from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra. And if he would have reached Shabbos without having eaten from the Eitz HaDaas Tov V'Ra, the world would have reached Shleimus the way it was supposed to. And as a result, the world would have, Adam Rishon would have entered or been in Gan Eden, and we would have all remained in Gan Eden forever and ever afterwards. Right? That's the way the world, in a certain sense, the original Avoyga, that mitzvah of Adam Rishon, was the sum total of all the Avoydas Hashem in the entire world. We were meant to be Eved Hashem, and that was the goal of Avodas Hashem, and Adam Rishon would have done it. He would have done all of our Avodas Hashem in one act that would have brought the world to its complete level of Shlemus. There are, there do seem to be space in different places, but okay, yeah.
What is that supposed to be? Because it wasn't supposed to be, because if it
was supposed to be, then it would have happened. Yes, that's a different question. We'll talk about that a different time, okay?
Why did Shlemus was just created?
What? Nothing was wrong. In other words, the point is that Kodesh Baruch Hu, okay, Kodesh Baruch Hu, without going into why, okay, which is beyond us, but Kodesh Baruch Hu created a person, right? You say the Chassidus Shoyer Shavoy that Tamim was Baruch Hashem and say Tala Machol Asa Bolam, right? Adam Lo Nivra Le Sa'ane Gal Hashem, the beginning of the Sos Yishar. We were created in order to be connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The place where we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in Gan Eden. However, we need to get into Gan Eden. And in order to get to Gan Eden, we need to earn it. Because something that you get for free, the Chazal call that what? Nama de kisufa lechem of busha, bread of shame, right? That we're not supposed to get it like that. So therefore, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kibiyachol, created us in a way that we need to do something to earn our schar. And that something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created was to not eat from the Eitz HaDaas. L'maisa, Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz HaDaas, and as a result, he was kicked out of Gan Eden. At some point, maybe we'll talk about that a little bit more, because there's a contradiction between different Chazal. Cain and Hevel were born. Okay? Cain and Hevel are the continuation of Adam. They represent, obviously, two completely different sides. Cain is kinyan, is acquisition, is owning things. And Hevel literally means what?
Nothing.
Nothing, right? Cain and Hevel representing these two different sides. And of the Medrash says, the picture actually is a picture of Elezer, says like this, Rabbi Yosef Omar Cain Hevel to Omim Hayu. First of all, Rabbi Yosef learns that they were actually twins. Okay? And it says that Cain was an ish oev mizroah, Cain was a person who planted, b'yevel ish oev mir os tzom. Hevel loved to be roet tzom. And each one provides the other one. And it came the night of Pesach. Adam Rishon called his sons. And he said to them, Atidin Yisrael lahakriv korbanos psachim, hakrivu gam atem lifnei bor achem. Klal Yisrael is going to bring korban Pesach. You should therefore bring a korban today. Right? In other words, Cain brought the leftover flax seed, and Hevel brought from his sheep, and everything that took place after that. So the beginning, what I want to try to see, what we're seeing over here is that in some way the korbanos of Cain and Hevel are tied to the fact that ultimately there's going to be a Klal Yisrael, and you should bring a korban now because you're connected to that which Klal Yisrael is going to do. Okay, step one. Let's skip the rest of the picture of Lezer for now. And there's another Medrash Rabba. The Medrash Rabba says like this, Vayihimi Kates Yom, it was the end of days. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua. Now Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua have a very basic machlokes throughout all of Bria Sa'ilam. They argue whether or not the world was created in Nisan or the world was created in Tishrei. Okay? Rabbi Lezer says, Rabbi Lezer Omer b'Tishrei Nivra Olam, Rabbi Yeshua Omer b'Nisan Nivra Olam. Right, if you're familiar, this is discussed in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. It comes up lahalacha in many different ways. It's actually going to come up this year in Nisan. What are we going to do this year in Nisan that we haven't done in 28 years? Birchas Hachama, right? Which is a representation of the beginning of the world. And we do it in Nisan because for certain things we paskin that Nisan is the creation of the world. Even though on Tishrei we say it's Rosh Hashanah, but there's two sides to it, right? When Rosh Hashanah we say Ayayim Haras Olam. Today is the day of the pregnancy of the world. And L'maisa Rulaz of Yeshua, one says the world is created in Tishrei, one says it's created in Nisan. One means Tishrei, it was Olam B'machshava, and Nisan, it was actually brought into being. That's the explanation. So they both say, Rulaz of Yeshua say that the world was created in Tishrei, the world was created in Nisan. Rav Yeshua B'Nisan Nivra Olam, Manda Omer B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, Osa Hevel Kayim Minachag Ad Chanukah, Man the Omer ben Nisan Nivrolam also Hevel Kayim Pesach Adatzeres. Bein Ledivre Elu, Bein Ledivre Elu, Hakol Moedim Shalom also Hevel Be'olam Yosem Michamishim Yom. The Medrash is telling us something over here very, to me, I think it's something very profound. Everyone agrees, says the Medrash, Hevel was not in the world for more than 50 days. The opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who says the world was created in Nisan, so Hevel lived from Pesach to Shavuos. What do we call that period of time? Sfira, right? What is meant the time from Pesach to Shavuos? What's supposed to happen from Pesach to Shavuos? What are you supposed to do during Sfira Sa'omer? Be careful with the Omer. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to what? Count. And what are you counting to? Matan Torah, right? And the result of the counting to Mat, what was supposed to happen in the original Sfira Sa'omer of Klal Yisrael the first time? They were supposed to count 49 days. On the 50th day, they were supposed to receive the Torah. And then what was supposed to happen? The world was supposed to reach Shleimus. Right? It didn't, which we'll see as we keep on going. We know that it didn't. And we'll see what that has to do with this. But L'maisa, that 50-day period from Pesach to Atzeres, from Yitzias Yitzrayim to Matan Torah, is the time of the year when the world is meant to reach Shleimus. We're supposed to go from being Avodim L'Paro, be Makriv a Korban Pesach, count those 50 days, and the end result is Kabbalah Satayra is Shleimus, when we reach the level of reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu completely and absolutely. L'mais, as we said today in Shir Shalyot, Ani Amarti Elokim Atem Uvnei Elyon Kulchem. That's what's supposed to take place between Pesach and Atzeres. Therefore, this Medrash which says that Hevel lived for 50 days from Pesach till Atzeres, he brought his korban, as we learned in the Medrash before, the night of Pesach, and Hashem accepted Hevel's korban and didn't accept Kayin's korban. Hevel then existed for another 50 days while Kayin fumed and fermented his rage, till at the end of the 50 days what happened was Kayin kills Hevel. Okay? That's what takes place. What's really happening over here, the Medrash is telling us the following. L'maisa, when Adam says to Kayin and Hevel, be makriv a korban, it's the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, what he's really telling Kayin and Hevel is you have the opportunity to reconnect back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I messed up, but you can do something about this. Therefore, bring a korban Pesach. What is a korban Pesach? A korban Pesach is to recognize that there are other things in the world that you worship, and I want to disconnect from them. Klal Yisrael brings the korban Pesach to say, hey, right? Hey, nizbach es Elohei Mitzrayim v'lo yiskelunu. In other words, we're going to take the Avodah Zarah of Mitzrayim, we're going to uproot it, and we're going to destroy it. Adam says to his sons, you should also bring a korban Pesach. I messed up already. I'm gone. I can do tshuva, I can try to do what I can do, but l'maisa, it's now up to you in the world to do what you're supposed to. Bring the korban Pesach, and after the korban Pesach, what are you supposed to start doing? You're supposed to count Sfira Sa'omer. You're supposed to count 50 days from Pesach to Shavuos, And if it's done in the proper way, that Sefiras Omer, the world will reach the Shleimus it's supposed to, and then Kayin and Hevel would seem from this Medrash, what it's saying is, Kayin and Hevel would have been Makabel Torah. They would have reached the completion of what Adam Rishon was supposed to, and they would have brought the world, they would have repaired the chait of Adam and done what they were supposed to. Instead of Kayin counting Sefira in the way he was supposed to, what does Kayin do? Kayin counts an anti-Sefira. Kayin spends every one of these 50 days, what does he do each day? He gets up in the morning, he says to himself, look what Hevel did to me. He didn't allow my carbon to be accepted. And Kayin, instead of lifting himself up each day, actually brought himself down each day. So the culmination of the Sefira of Kayin, instead of it being lifting him up and overcoming his lack at the beginning, it ended up that what he did was he killed Hevel. So therefore, the Medrash is telling us that it's not just telling us an accident to the calendar. The Medrash is saying, Kayin and Hevel were meant to repair the chait of Adam HaRishon. They were meant to bring a carbon of Pesach at the beginning and be Makabel Torah at the end. And the way you join them together is with the Sefira. And by doing it in the wrong way, Kayin kills Hevel. He messes up the first opportunity in the world to be Makabel Torah. We have to wait another 2,448 years before the world is ready to do that. That's one half of this message. Everyone with me? Yeah. They could have. This week's parasha. Okay? The Geshem of the Mabul was, if they would have done Shuvah, it would have turned into Kabbalah Sotera.
So it couldn't happen before Mabul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But is there anything around the parasha that says that Hevel, that there was no carbon that was required, that Hevel, he just brought it because he was doing Purim, and then Kayin just followed him?
Says exactly the opposite. The Hevel hevi gabhu,
the
b'chor son of the chelvehen. Right?
Then that's, how would that connect with this? Because then we're saying that it wasn't required at all. It was just an option.
No. In other words, you mean the fact that the Medrash says that it says that Adam told his sons? So you have to say that Adam told his sons this is what's going to happen. And then, in other words, he told them there's a carbon. It seems that Kayin translated it into reality, and then Hevel just imitated what Kayin did.
So why did Hevel have to do it at all? Why was he...
Why did Hevel have to? Because everyone has to bring their own carbon mess.
No, why did he not have to? Kayin was the one who had to do it.
Why did Kayin have to do it? Why is Kayin any different than Hevel? They both had to do it. It says, Korah Adam Luvanav. He called both his sons.
So why was Hevel just copying Kayin?
Because it seems that what Adam did was Adam told them bring a carbon, and now it's up to you to figure out how to do it. So Hevel was in some aspects only imitating Kayin and not doing it himself. He brought something physically different, but there's some aspect of his what he did which is only imitating Kayin. Okay, I want to get to the imitation. I'll get to the imitation part later. Okay.
Yeah. Kayin bring fruit? Like, why did he bring?
Because Kayin was an Ish Adamah.
Right?
Yeah, you can bring it. Again, it's not actually a carbon Pesach, right? It's based on the fact that there's going to be a carbon Pesach.
But
I don't want to go into the carbon yet. I want to talk about the time. Shh. Okay. This I'm going to have to apologize. This class is not really going to lend itself to lots of discussion because the people, everyone's going to want to. One of two things is going to happen. When I was in yeshiva. With my Rashiva Ruhedas Chadna Levracha. So there were approximately this amount of people in Shia. And we had to make a special rule, which was there was something called Yom Aleph Yom Beis. Because everyone wanted to participate, and if 80 people are trying to participate in discussing the Gemara with Rashiva, so then nothing happens. So you're only allowed to talk every other day. So that works when you have Shia every day. So one day you're quiet, if you had something really, really good to say, you could like whisper it to your friend who was allowed to talk that day, and he would say it in your name. Okay? But yeah, there was Yom Aleph, Yom Beis. The other thing that happens in a class this big is most of the class participates, and other people who don't, you know, that's not their koach in terms of participating. They're more of the observer type, and they absorb things, But when everyone is talking and discussing things, it's a big Yetzirah to lose track of what's going on. So I don't want people to be faced with such a Yetzirah, so I'm going to have to try to figure out what to do. But we're going to have to as things stand right now, we're going to have to try to minimize the discussion in the class, because it's really not going to be... In other words, questions that are on what I said are valid. Things that expand, bringing in other things, that's just going to lead us where we're not going to be able to go, we're not going to be able to do it. I feel bad because it's not the way that I like to teach. I'm not a teacher, I'm not a lecturer. I don't like doing that. I like to learn with everybody in the room with me together. But it's just not shy for that to happen, especially if you have people who are not even in the room because they can't even get in. So it's a problem, okay? So that's in terms of, so I say you had your hand up even before I made this little speech, so you have like the grandfather clause, yes.
just how far into Bria Salam or Chayim have a word?
That's a big discussion. This medrash, the medrash we read right now, is that they were born on Pesach. Because it says Hevel didn't live for more than 50 days.
And the world was created on
Adam here. Adam was created, yeah, of course they had Sheba. One second. Adam was created on Aleph Nisan. Okay? Cain and Hevel were born, it seems, 2 weeks later. And Hevel, they brought the Karbanos right away when they were born, because they were born already, you know, they weren't born as children, they were born older, and Hevel only lived for 50 days till Shavuos. Okay? That's not the only, I remember I was learning this sugya a couple of years ago, and I got very confused, because and then I finally realized there's a machlokes among the midrashim. Some people say Cain was born in Gan Eden, Hevel was born after they left Gan Eden. Some learn that Cain and Hevel, some Midrashim say Cain and Hevel were both born in Gan Eden. Some learn that both of them were born after Gan Eden. The first Medrash of the Pirkei Rabbi says that they were actually twins, just that Cain was the older of the twins. So there's a number of different Midrashim. I can't reconcile them to show how they're all talking in one direction. It's an issue. But if you look, there's a Pirush on the Pirkei Rabbi by someone called the Radal, or maybe David Luria. He goes through the Midrashim and shows there were these different approaches to the Midrashim as to exactly when they were born. And it's a machlokes, but the best we can say, it's a machlokes among the Midrashim when it was. So I can't, in other words, each Midrash you have to take within the context of its own Midrash. So this is in terms of, so therefore what the Midrash is saying, it's not just telling us a calendar, it's telling us what took place. That Cain and Hevel were counting Sphira, but because Cain counted it wrong, he uncounted Sphira, so to speak, instead of working on his midos from Chesed to Gvur to Tiferes to Nesach to Hod to Yisod to Malchus, he just let his kinah against Hevel ferment, and the end result was he killed Hevel on exactly the day which, if he would have been doing the right thing, would have been the day of Kabbalah Satira, that could have been a day of Shlemus for the world, when they could have changed the world back to what Adam Rishon messed up. That's one side. However, there's another side. The other side says this all took place in Tishrei. So first of all, there's a problem. It says like this. It says that the one who says, or the Lazar who says the world was created in Tishrei, it says Hevel lived from the Chag, from Sukkot, ad Chanukah, until Chanukah. Rabbi Lazar who says the world was created in Tishrei. And the end of the Medrash says everyone agrees that Hevel wasn't alive for more than 50 days. So let's see. Chag Sukkot is what day is Sukkot?
15.
He was not more than 50 days old when he was killed. Hakol Mogim, Hevel was not in the world for more than 50 days. That's the last line in the Medrash.
They were born as adults?
Yeah. Especially if they were born in Gan Eden. And even if they weren't born in Gan Eden, what's children then is adults now. Mm-hmm. By the way, someone said about the sheep. What came first, the chicken or the egg?
The chicken.
The chicken. Because Goshwahu created everything in the world completely formed. So they were completely formed sheep. So let's see. Sukkot is when?
The 15th.
Tesvav Tishrei. Chanukah is? What?
That's unsolvable question.
What?
The chicken and the egg.
No, it's a Mefurash of Chazal. It's a Mefurash of Chazal that the whole world was created as complete. Chanukah is Chafei Kislev. How many days are there from Tosfot Tishrei to Chafei Kislev?
More than 50.
More than 50. Right? So what does the Medrash mean when it says that they were born on Chag? That Hevel, Cain and Hevel were born on Sukkot. Hevel was killed on Chanukah, and he only lived for 50 days. It's a problem. It doesn't work in terms of the math. So there's a Sefer Agur the Kala from the Din of a Rebbe, where he says, merely chutz mi shabbosos, aside from Shabbos. So if you start making all the calculations, there are all kinds of different, you don't count Shabbos, you don't count Yontif, I think you don't count Rosh Chodesh, you can work out that there are 50 days. So that's not the main problem over here. The main issue is why is it important that he lives from Sukkot to Chanukah? Now, if you notice, again, it doesn't say he lives for 50 days. He says he lives from Sukkot to Chanukah. Meaning, when in the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who says the world was created in Nisan, he said he also doesn't say 50 days. He says from Pesach to Shavuos. So Pesach to Shavuos, we know, are connected. If it meant to say that he lived from Tesvav Tishrei to Chofei Kislev, let him write till Chofei Kislev. The fact that it says that Hevel lived till Chanukah means there's a connection between Sukkot and Chanukah, and that's what Cain and Hevel weren't able to do. They weren't able to bring this out. What's the connection between Sukkot and Chanukah? So, there's a piece over in Rabbeinu Bechayah talking about this, which says, Mincha LaHashem. HaMincha Azo, says Rabbeinu Bechayah, HaYisab Yom HaChamishim, was on the 50th day of Briyas HaOlam. Bein HaDivri Lezer, Bein HaRabbi Yoshua, Vechein Dorshu Chazal B'Reishis Rabbah, he brings a Medrash that everyone says Hevel was only for 50 days. Umima Shekidu Shnei Chachomim Me'ela Al Chamishim Yom, Yotzo Lonu Tam Loman Estavinu Batoiru Lakuv Mincha B'Yoyim Atzeres Keneged Kayin VeHevel. Shehikrivu Mincha B'Yoyim HaChamishim, Kimitoich Oysa Mincha Tisbara Amitas HaNavuo, Chos of Omar V'Yoyim HaShem HaKayin, V'Tisbara Ashkocha Gam Oynish V'Eschar HaKol Nichlal Shom. Says Rabbeinu Bechayah, the 50 days of this idea that's being mentioned in the Medrash is something that's very important. It's meant to bring out a tremendous lesson. So the Rabbeinu Bechayah explains the lesson that we said, the lesson of Shavuos. Rabbeinu Bechayah doesn't talk about Chanukah. So let's try to figure out Sukkot and Chanukah. So are there any connections between Sukkot and Chanukah? What can you do to connect Sukkot to Chanukah? Yeah?
I'm not sure that Zardin isn't time.
There is such a thing. Okay, yeah, well, okay, fine. But more partial than that, before we even get to that, just very basic ones, yeah? Okay, Sukkot is an Aneh Kavod and Chanukah is Chanukah Samishkan, yeah? It's the next Chag, right, okay. How about something very basic? How many days are in Chanukah? They're both 8 days, okay? To take the idea of Chanukah and Mishkan and Ananei Kavod, let's say it on a different way. Let's say it like this. If you're flying overnight during Chanukah, where do you light candles? Don't try that. By the door to the plane. No? Okay. What? The Loshen Chazal about the mitzvah of Chanukah is mitzvahs ner ish ubeso. The mitzvah of Chanukah is on your bites. If you don't have a house, there's no mitzvah near Chanukah. We had a big shiloh. My son got married on the second night of Chanukah. And the shiloh was, where does the kala light candles? Does she light by her parents' house? Because at the time of the lighting, which was 4 o'clock in the afternoon here in Eretz Yisrael, she was still our father's daughter. Or is she mechuyav to light in her house after she's married, which is going to be later that night? Where do you go by? So we both. Her father lit for her and had her in mind when he lit at home, and my son had in mind for whatever, and we lit candles at the hall also without a bracha, whatever. There's a chanukah, there's a menorah in the can, so we, but it's a shiloh, right? Where are you? But the point is the mitzvah of Chanukah is on the bites. What is the mitzvah of Sukkot? The mitzvah of Sukkot is about your bites. You go, you're dar in a house of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Meaning Sukkot is, you leave your house and you go into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. And Hanukkah, what do? You take your house and you make it into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. Okay? Says the Sfasemes, Adon Yom Yizkeini Moriv Rabbi Zal Hero Remez B'Mishnah. Michad Ba'ad HaChanukah Mevi Ve'eno Kore. Talking about the following halacha. In our show, when your crops begin to grow, you're supposed to go down into your field and find the first fruits that blossom. You're supposed to tie a little thread on them to remember which ones they are. And those are Bikurim, right? When do you bring Bikurim? So it says like this. You bring Bikurim from Shavuos till Sukkot. If you have Bikurim left after Sukkot, you can still bring Bikurim from Sukkot till Hanukkah. Says the Sfasemes that his grandfather, the Chedush Yerim, said the following remez. He said the Ha'ara, the newness of the year that takes place, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, continues all the way until Hanukkah. That's what he said. According to this, it appears. So Samus is saying this on Hanukkah. So he says, the newness of the year from Tishrei remains until now, till Hanukkah. You can still bring Bikurim, which are the first fruits of the year, because you're still in the beginning of the year. The reason why Hanukkah is called Hanukkah, because now is Nigmar HaChinuch Mitzchadsha Shel HaShana. Hanukkah is still the beginning of the year. The beginning of the year goes from Rosh Hashanah all the way until Hanukkah. The Isav of Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it says in the Mishnah, when it describes the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, it tells us that they did all kinds of things in the Beis HaMikdash. One of them is that they built giant menorahs in the chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash, and it says, Lo is a chotzer she'eno mi'ira or Beis HaShoeva. It says that they would build giant menorahs in the entrance in the Beis HaMikdash. There are hundreds of kohanim and would climb up to the top of the menorah that was extremely tall with large amounts of oil, and they would have these giant lanterns in the Beis HaMikdash that would light up the entire Yerushalayim, and every single courtyard in Yerushalayim was lit up by the light of the menorah from the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Says the Sfasemes, this is also a remez. Yitochim Lirmo, there can be a remez. Shekemosh Nimshach Ha'or Me'rochov Bo'olom, Kach Nimshach Mizman HaShona Ha'oros Achad. Uchmochei Menefesh Ha'odom Ki Olom Shona Nefesh Hedugmo Echad. We've said, I think previously, there are three levels in the world. There's Olom, Shona, Nefesh. There's the physical place, there's time, and then there are the people. And everything in the world is a reflection of these three ideas. They all reflect one another. There's places in the world that have unique characteristics. Parallel to them, there are times of the year that have those characteristics, and there are people that can utilize that characteristic. For example, says the Sfasemes in one place, the Kohen Gadol, who is the most kadosh of all the nefashos, on Yom Kippur, which is the most kadosh of all the Zman, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the most kadosh of all places. That conjunction is the pinnacle of Kedusha that exists in the world. And then there are opposites. There's Titus on Tisha B'Av. There's all kinds of different variations. And everything we do is a conjunction of these three kinds of... They're not just three kinds. They're three variations on the same theme, and they all reflect one another. Therefore, says the Sfasemes, if in the physical world, the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash was able to project its light and fill the entire Yerushalayim, that same light that's projected from the Beis HaMikdash is also projected in Zman, and therefore reaches all the way from Sukkot till Hanukkah. Therefore, says the Sfasemes, the light of the menorah on Hanukkah is a reflection, is a continuation of the light of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva that continues, that reflects or illuminates from Sukkot all the way till Hanukkah. So therefore, when the Mishnah says that you can bring Bikurim from Sukkot till Hanukkah, what it's saying is Sukkot and Hanukkah are joined together They're all the chinuch, the beginning of the year, and they're one unit all together. Yeah.
If the light from the menorah was so powerful, why can't you say that it just lit up for the rest of the year?
Because everything does, within the physical world, everything does have a limit, right? There are things that have, there is a limit in the physical world, right? And it's not, even though it's a ruchniistic light, but even within ruchnius in this world, we go up and we go down, we go around the year. And at different times of the year, different things do reach a conclusion, and then we go on to the next thing. Right? There are, even within the ruchnius, the ruchnius in our world does have a certain level. So therefore, he says, Uchvi raiv simchas nafshus atzadikim besukis, kach nimshach or min rochok, gam b'chinas oylam v'shon. So he says, that's why we watch called, that's the idea of the ha'ara of Sukkot, reaching the simcha of the tzaddikim on Sukkot, extends and lights up all the way till Chanukah. Okay? So first of all, just for us, one of the reasons I like doing this now is, first of all, no one uses this the wrong way. Doesn't mean that the year doesn't start till Chanukah. You know? The year started already, right? But there's a time of chiddush that exists in the world, starting from Rosh Hashanah through Sukkot, which is one unit, all the way till Chanukah. And that's the beginning, and to utilize that time in the proper way. What does this have to do with us? So now we can go back to the Medrash. The Medrash says that there are two, that Cain and Hevel lived in one of two times. Either Pesach to Shavuos, which makes lots of sense. That's the preparation for Kabbalah Sotayim. The other explanation is the time from Sukkot to Chanukah. Sukkot to Chanukah seems to be a seemingly random period of time. There's no unique connection between Sukkot and Chanukah. The answer is not according to the Sfasemis. Sfasemis says that there exists a connection between Sukkot and Chanukah. There's the connection of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. But there's etzem the connection about taking, in other words, it's two steps. Sukkot is, I want to be in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. So what do? I go into my Sukkah, which is the Anami HaKavod. I leave my own house, and I say, my house isn't enough. I need to leave my house in order to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. However, we then move back into our house. When you move back into your house after Sukkot, how are you supposed to move back into your house? You're supposed to bring your Sukkah back into the house with you. You're not supposed to leave it there. You're supposed to be able to take the kedusha of the Sukkah and bring it back into your house. Where do we see that? We see that when you're able to light your Ner Chanukah in your house itself. The light of the Ner Chanukah, as the Ramban said in the beginning of Baloischa, is mamish in avoido the Beis HaMikdash. Maybe we'll talk about that closer to Chanukah. But it's an avoido the Beis HaMikdash. So in a sense, Chanukah is greater than Sukkot, because Sukkot is the feel that you're in Hashem's house, you have to leave your house. Chanukah, if you kept Sukkot the right way, and you lit your Simchas Beis HaShoeva and Sukkot the right way, the light from the Beis HaMikdash extends into all the houses in Yerushalayim. Usually the Beis HaMikdash is only felt in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Here you're able to take the light of the Beis HaMikdash and extend it outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash. So too, if you do Sukkot the right way, that Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you can extend the Simcha and the Kedusha, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, into your house. The culmination is Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Cain and Hevel were supposed to bring, were actually supposed to do this. Depending exactly how you learn, Cain and Hevel had a Shaychus to Gan Eden, whichever level of connection they had to it. They had a connection to Gan Eden in some way. They had a connection to that ultimate Kedusha. When they and Adam Rishon, as a result, they are evicted from Gan Eden, they're not supposed to turn their back on Gan Eden. They're supposed to try to extend the Ha'ara of Gan Eden into a way that Gan Eden extends even into this world. When Cain and Abel were makriv korbanos, so they were supposed to be doing the avoda of the Beis HaMikdash and taking that avoda of the Beis HaMikdash and extending it into everything that exists in this world. What? It's not clear. It seems the korbanos were brought outside Gan Eden. That's what it seems. But they were meant, in other words, they were meant to bring, I'll say it this way. What's the last pasuk in Eichot? Hashveinu Hashem Eilecha v'noshuva chadei shemeinu kikedem. What does kikedem mean?
Like at the beginning.
Like at the beginning. Which beginning? So kikedem has two meanings over there. One is bring us back like we were in Eretz Yisrael in the Beis HaMikdash, and the other is kikedem like Gan Eden kikedem. Meaning they're really this, they're reflections of the same thing. So Cain and Hevel in their Avodah were supposed to be building a Beis HaMikdash. They were supposed to be bringing us back to there. The place where that would reach its culmination was meant to be Hanukkah. Seemingly, if Cain and Eva would have been able to work together till Hanukkah, they would have extended the Ha'orah of the Sukkot, which they started, or they were supposed to start, and then there would have been not just a reflection of the Beis HaMikdash, but an actual bias which has a mitzvah built into it and has the Kedusha in it in and of itself. When Cain couldn't do it the right way, the result was it all fell apart. So there's two times of the year that are connected. There's the connection from Pesach to Shavuos, which is the Avodah of Kabbalah Satayra, and there's the connection from Sukkot to Hanukkah. Sukkot to Hanukkah is to go to Hashem's house, and then the time from Sukkot to Hanukkah is to take what you got from the Sukkah and bring it back into your own house. And that's what Cain and Hevel were supposed to be doing, and that's what they messed up between Sukkot and Hanukkah. That is, I think, the meaning of these two periods of time that the Medrash says. Okay? The reason why, you can say according to this, the reason why in the 50 days you don't count Shabbos is because Shabbos b'chlau, you're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. Shabbos isn't the time when you're bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into your house, because Shabbos is the dira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'etzem. Shabbos is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's own dira. So that's not the avodah for Shabbos, that's an avodah for during the days of the week for the Sheish Yisimei HaMaisa. That's the way you could possibly say it, why therefore you don't keep Shabbos. No, you don't keep Shabbos, you don't count Shabbos in the list. Don't. Someone will lift out that little part and say, see, Rebbe said don't keep Shabbos. Okay, don't do that. Okay, everyone hear what I'm saying?
Yes.
Questions? Clear? Okay, so let's keep on going. So we really need to try to figure out now, and this is really something that bothered me. Two things. Really need to figure out. Okay, so Cain had a problem. Okay, what was Cain's problem? Anger management, right? I mean, seriously, whatever, we'll talk about Cain a little bit more. But what began to bother me about this whole thing was, what did Hevel do? Why did Hevel deserve to be killed? Right? So, well, I'm sure people have learned this. What have people here heard? Why did Hevel deserve to be killed? Anyone? You ever wonder about that? Always bothered me for a long time. What did Hevel do? What? People are killed who don't deserve to be killed? One second. Are you quoting Yor HaChaim at the beginning of what's called? The beginning of Vayeshev? What? You don't think so?
Of course.
What? You say of course, right? Is anyone quoting Yor HaChaim because this is the beginning of Vayeshev? Yes, right. Okay. But even that needs to be understood, okay? Do we really think that someone can be killed even if they don't deserve?
No.
What's that? In other words, is there even, right? There has to be a din in the diet. Yeah.
Maybe yes, because sometimes you know that, when a few great generation, then we know that it's sometimes that then it's because their death will take the sins of this generation.
So then there's a reason.
Okay,
so that, but you still need to understand that. That doesn't mean that it's for no reason.
No.
Okay? Yeah.
Hashem runs the world the way the world runs. Someone murdered someone, the guy's
going
to not die. There are people who have sins, but
dying. Has it ever, let's put it, in other words, is it possible, so therefore, what you're really saying, I think, is Yerach HaYim HaKadosh. That I have a chiyuv to commit murder, right? So therefore, I have a chiyuv to commit murder, that means that I can kill somebody. And even if that person's time hasn't come yet, I can still kill him. Right? Okay, that again, that's the Yerach HaYim HaKadosh. But even the Yerach HaYim HaKadosh, as Vilna Gaon says in other Mefarshim talk about it, if you want to talk about it in more depth, there used to be a teacher here in Mechala who teaches Yerach HaYim HaKadosh. Everyone will get really confused about Bechira Yediyah and Bechira and Din and Dayan and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and is the world fair or whatever, and then he'd walk out and leave them, and then they'd leave me for me to pick up the pieces afterwards. So I would always get very upset at him. But he doesn't teach you anymore. But I had nothing to do with that. He stopped. But he has to be a very close friend of mine, but aside from that. Lumaisa, if you look, for example, in the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, Reb Chaim Friedlander, in the section on Emunah and Bitach, in the section on Bechira, so he talks about the Tzor HaChaim HaKadosh, and he basically says the following. He says the world exists on many different circles. On one circle, we can see that it seems like this person is being killed because of my Bechira, I am Bechira, therefore I can kill him. But it's impossible to say that there isn't a Cheshbon on a different level that a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't have. Because if so, then we find ourselves in a world without a Din, without a Dayan, and the world can't work like that. So there need to be different levels by which we try to understand what's going on. On one level, yes, I have Bechira, what's happening is for that, but on a different level, there needs to be some kind of Cheshbon that needs to be figured out. Okay,
that could be also, but it doesn't
sound like that. The reason why it doesn't sound like that is because what does Kodesh Baruch Hu tell Cain? Called Me'achicha Tzolakim Eilai Min Adama. He was supposed to have children. They didn't have. Right? So it seems like Kodesh Baruch Hu has a taina on Cain that it wasn't the right way. So, and L'maisa, it is brought down in terms of Heva. So if you look on page 5, we'll skip a little bit, it says like this. Valderech HaKabbalah, the middle of page 5 from Rebbeinu Bechaya. Valderech HaKabbalah, Elohei Elokei Avicha, Adam HaRishon, Ki Kishihikriv Hevel Karbon, Hitzitz B'Shechina Yoyser Min Ashgacha, Valkei Nitzchayiv Misa. The Rebbeinu Bechaya brings, and we'll explain this a little bit more, that Heva, when he brought the carbon, looked into a place where he wasn't supposed to, and as a result, he was Chayiv Misa. This is a kind of aveira that we find in a number of different places. For example, it says at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, that Nadav and Aviyu were Vayochlu Vayishtu Vayechasu Asalokim Vayochlu Vayishtu. Meaning, there's a certain level where a person looks into a place beyond what it's capable of being understood, and as a result, they're Chayiv Misa. Okay? Heva, when he brought his carbon, put himself in a place where he shouldn't, and as a result, he was Chayiv Misa. I want to finish with this explanation that goes like this.
Spiritually.
Means it's like this. Here. Heva's name is Heva. What can happen when a person, just to use the term, becomes too ruchni? What do they do?
They stop existing,
right? They become
Hevel.
You look around the world and you say, Hevel Avolim. What's the point of eating? What's the point of anything? What's the point of getting married? What's the point of whatever I'm supposed to do? Is that the way Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to live in this world? No. We have a chiyuv to not be Hevel. What the definition of not being Hevel is that there are many different levels of it. Right? There, you can be yaitzeh with the minimum of this world. When a person can look beyond where they're supposed to, so then they can say, all of this world is really nothing. There's no point to being involved in this world. And what should I do? Why should I do anything? Hevel was one way of explaining Hevel. He was a person of Hevel Avolim. So a person who, as a result, in other words, his Mida was this Mida of Hevel. When he brought the carbon, he allowed himself to reach the point where he thought really everything was Hevel Avolim, even the things that Kodesh Baruch Hu created in this world in order for us to be able to use. As a result, the Chiyuv Misa over here is, a person says Kodesh Baruch Hu, someone who can't figure out how to use this world in the way that I want them to, so then they're not here anymore. And therefore Hevel literally became Hevel. In a certain sense, is that a Chisaron? It sounds like it's a Milo. But that's not the way Kodesh Baruch Hu wants us to be Ayved Hashem. Again, it's a very dangerous idea, because then a person can say, oh, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave me, I don't know, brand new Mercedes and all kinds of other things that I need, and therefore, you see, they're not Hevel Avolim, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them to me. There's a proper way to understand this. But Hevel, when he brought the carbon, he brought too much. In other words, there's halacha. The halacha is, let's say you want to give tzedakah. How much tzedakah are you allowed to give? not more than a fifth. Why?
Because then you're
going to need yourself. I want to give more. They say about one of the big rabbis who gave more than a fifth of his money to tzedakah. So he asked him, how can you do it? He said, I just can't stop myself. But that's not the way, in a certain sense, now they say about a big ball tzedakah in our generation. Okay, I don't want to say who, but a big ball tzedakah in our generation who lost a tremendous amount of money a number of years ago. So someone asked him, someone said to him, can you figure out why? He says, it's probably because I gave more than I was supposed to. And I thought I was smarter than the Gemara. Right? Thought I was smarter than the Gemara. I didn't make the cheshbonos the way I was supposed to. I thought I was smarter than the Gemara. I could give more. And you know what? Even though I think I'm doing something right, the Kodesh Baruch Hu sends us a message and tells us, no matter what you think, you have to follow what it says in the Halach. So therefore, Hevel was put himself in a place that was beyond. Everything became Hevel. As a result, Hashem said, so then your Hevel, that's what it's supposed to be. Okay, that's one level of understanding what Hevel did wrong. Bezus Hashem, next class, we're going to spend one more class on this. There's a whole idea of Chazal about who Hevel was and what